Love to see a playoff series between the Raptors and Celtics. They play tonight. What intrigues you the most when you look at the two rosters of these two teams?
Well, obviously, Toronto has done such a terrific job without Kawhi Leonard. And Stan continuing to play at a very, very high level. I think the intriguing part about the two teams is both teams can score the basketball. But when I look at the Celtics, I look at the size. I just think, you know, the Raptors with Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, that's where the advantage comes in at, because the Celtics are small inside. Without, only besides Enes Kanter, they don't really have a lot of size, and that's usually end up being the telling point for those guys. Is the Celtics is that they don't have the lack of size can hurt them, because we know how good Milwaukee is. And the Milwaukee has size too as well. So those are some of the things that kind of stand out. But I just, you know, with the Raptors, I think you just got to be intrigued by the ability to be able to lose a player like Kawhi Leonard and still be able to compete at the level that they're competing at.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of what we've all thought throughout the season, right, is that, hey, us in Toronto, we didn't think that they were going to be cellar dwellers without Kawhi, because they've built this incredible culture and the team is deep and they're led by Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. But there was a scenario that a lot of people did think, which is, hey, if they're mediocre, maybe they do trade some of these guys. But yeah, there was this kind of larger perception that they would fall apart, that they would be outside of the mix. Some people didn't even pick them to make the playoffs, which is whatever. It's fine. But what do you think has been most surprising about this? Just like when you watch the Raptors, what's the part of it that is, hey, I'm they lost Kawhi Leonard, but to be this good, what is it that was kind of being missed by people?
How good are the players were? I think Pascal Siakam, his development, becoming an all-star in his league, I think was huge. Kyle Lowry's been solid throughout. And then I think Fred VanVleet, if you think about how good he's been, it's given him an opportunity to get, obviously, more minutes. And he was terrific, obviously, in the playoffs, and he's carried that on through this season as well. And you got to give Nick Nurse a lot of credit, I think. You know, he was right up there for Coach of the Year. I don't think nobody would have been upset if he would have got Coach of the Year. He's done a terrific job. So you got to give him a lot of credit. But just togetherness, I think them winning the championship and understanding team cohesiveness and having building that culture around each other. When you win a championship, you get, you know, you build a certain type of swagger and confidence about yourself. And I think that's the one thing that the Raptors have, and that's why they've had a lot of success this year.
So tonight, that's a big story, right? Stevens versus Nurse. They're both two of the more creative coaches in the NBA. Who do you got? Are you just going to go with the Boston thing, or are you like Nurse? who's the more progressive coach? Who would you want on your team?
No, I'm always a little biased. I mean, the Celtics is kind of like my second home. I did spend most of my career there, so I'm always a little biased. I like the Celtics. The Celtics have some great young talent, some great scores, you know, with Tatum and Jalen. But I like the Raptors right now. I don't like the Celtics right now because Kemba Walker is not healthy. I just feel like they need him to really make a deep run. So I'll take the Raptors tonight.
Man, so it's funny because, yeah, the first video game that I ever played with NBA was with you on the cover. I think it was 99.
Yeah, 99 Live.
Yeah, 99 Live. I was like Antoine Walker, man. Like, just money in that game from distance, just great shooter. And I do think of you as a Celtic, but it's funny. I love that Miami Heat team so much because I grew up a Sonics fan, and it was Gary Payton's chance at getting a championship ring. And I also liked Shaq, and he wasn't on the Lakers, so I could cheer him for him again. And you were integral with that group. So, like, in a weird way, I actually think of you as a Miami Heat guy, like, almost more than the Celtics because of that run. Like, it's the way that I'll always see your career. But you said it, man. This is kind of the million-dollar question with what's going on with Kemba Walker, because I heard Bill Simmons say that he's having trouble walking down hills, like that's how bad the knee is. They're clearly babying him a little bit in this game and in these games. He hasn't looked as explosive. Like, this is – so do you feel confident saying – let's just say, what have you heard about that knee? What are you seeing with that knee?
I've heard – when you look at with the pandemic and obviously what we're going in the world, he had like an extra, 3-4 months off and he's not even getting any better. So if you come out of that, you come out of the 3-4 month break and you're not healthy, he probably needs another surgery. I think probably he wanted to take advantage of that opportunity because they do have a good young team and they probably feel that they can go deep in the Eastern Conference. So he probably wants to play. They're probably allowing him to play, but he probably needs another surgery and maybe needs to take a, you know, maybe it might be a year off to get back healthy, but he's just not healthy. I mean, you can obviously see that on the court. He's not the same guy. He's, you know, he's jump shot real heavy. He's not getting to the basket. Doesn't have the burst of speed that we used to see from Kemba. So I think it's a little bit more serious than the Celtics are letting on. And it's probably going to stop them from making a deep run because their team was built. Obviously, he's a clutch player. I mean, he's replacing Kyrie Irving. He's a big part of what they're doing. So it could end up hurting them.
Talking to Antoine Walker, so obviously that would impact your answer to this next question. When we talk about tiers in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks are on a tier, I think, on their own.
Are they, though?
I was going to ask you, Antoine. Are the Raptors in that tier? Do you think the Bucks are on their own tier? Are the Raptors in the same tier as the Celtics and the Heat and the Sixers? Like, how do you view the Eastern Conference tiers?
I think Milwaukee's on a different tier, and that's only because prior to the pandemic, the way they were winning, Giannis was having an unbelievable year, getting it done with 30 minutes. He'll probably be the MVP again. I just like their setup on that team seemed very, very focused group, very consistent, where the Raptors have been very surprised, and not saying that the Raptors couldn't do it, but they've been very surprising. So I put the Raptors and the Celtics, and not even the Sixers, I'll put the Raptors and the Celtics in a tier by themselves, and then it's Philly and then maybe Indiana. And after that, you know, it kind of gets a little watered down for me in the Eastern Conference. But you have five quality teams in those five teams. But I think it's Milwaukee, and then you put the Celtics and the Raptors in that second tier, and then followed by the Sixers and Indiana. So I think it's a five-team race. All those teams are very capable of getting hot. But I'm looking at right now Eastern Conference matchup between the Raptors and the Bucks to get to the finals.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, again, the Raptors are a really good team, but they don't have one of the best 10 players in the NBA. Like, that's just a fact. And normally you don't win without having one of the best 10 players in the NBA. Like, that's what the league is. And so, yeah, they look really good right now, and I expect them to look good throughout this thing, but not wanting to put them in the same conversation as the three teams we had going into this is fine. I think that they're closer. I still have some doubts about the Bucks. I think that they've got some stuff that they've got to show, but yeah, it still remains to be seen who's going to close these games for Toronto in close ones, who's going to be able to get them a bucket in crunch time if they really, really need one in isolation. But like you've said, you've been surprised by Toronto, and I think a lot of people are, and I do believe that most, a lot of people in American outlets did not get the same opportunity to watch as many Raptors games as they did with, some of the other teams, and that's just a product of them not being on national television as much because they're not drivers south of the border. But have they been the most surprising team to you in the NBA bubble so far? Like, out of everything that you've watched, what's kind of been, like, the thing you are taken back about?
I wouldn't say surprising. I think it's a couple of things that take out the bubble. Obviously, I think we're seeing how good Phoenix will be next year. I don't think they will make the playoffs, even though they're playing good. I think we see how good Portland can be healthy. If they're able to be healthy going into next year's season, they're going to be really, really good. And I think one thing you got to take out the bubble, I think it's wide open. I did have the Lakers to win it, and not saying because they lost to OKC that I believe that, you know, that was going to be the turning point of that season. But I do still think that I had the Lakers clear cut. But I think it's going to be a dogfight. It's wide open in the East and West. And what people got to understand is no home court advantage. It's neutral courts. There's no fans. Some teams play better at home. You look at Philadelphia 76ers. I think they've only lost two games at home this year. Some teams need home court advantage. It's going to be different. Guys have got to muster energy from each other. It's going to be intriguing. It's going to be wide open. It's going to be a great playoff. I think the league has done a terrific job making this eight games to give teams a chance to get into some shape, guys to get their legs back under them. And I'm looking for a lot of seven games, a long seven-game series in the playoffs, and it's going to be really good playoff basketball.